I call it your spill your guts check-in, right? So I kind of have it designed so it's a little bit of a stress release piece for you, right? Because I want you to have as much stress release as possible. So yep. In that email, you know, I want you to tell me how your training's going, what food epiphanies you've had, you hate your neighbor's dog, you know, like whatever is, get it out, right? Spill your guts, right? It's your spill your guts check-in. And then when those things do come up, you know, we just talk through them, really, because I really feel like who else do you talk about that stuff with, right? Like, and that is another reason why I decided to do this on my own.
It is Wednesday, July 11th. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Wow, guys, it has been a hell of a first week on the podcast. I hate coming on here all the time and bragging about how good download numbers are and stuff like that. But I was worried that last week was a holiday week, of course. And I just get worried on holiday weeks, especially because the podcast actually fell on the 4th of July. And for any listeners outside of the United States, it's a, you know, it's a big holiday and everybody's off work and very few people are listening to podcasts. But this past week, the first week of July was actually the highest downloaded week of any week that I've ever had. So pretty awesome. And I got a nice Instagram message from a listener in Sweden. Is that how you pronounce it if you're local? Sweden. That told me how much she was enjoying my podcast. So thank you very much for the kind message. I love stuff like that. Okay, so we have done for the last several weeks. So again, if you recall, like this podcast, the whole idea that it started was it was called Eddie Knows Fitness, and it was all about fitness, and that was a big part of it. And then I went through and I started doing interviews with people that were talking more about mind-body issues and psychology and things like that. And over time, that became a lot more of what the topic base was. So today, we're going to throw it back a little bit. We're going to go back into the fitness side. However, we do talk a ton about mind-body stuff and stress and emotions and anxieties and depression and that kind of stuff and kind of how it can feed into weight loss goals and performance goals and eating and things like that. It's actually a past colleague of mine when I was working in sports nutrition. For those of you that don't know, I was a sports nutrition coach for four-ish years. And I was even taking on clients as recently as like 6 months ago. And then my daughter was born and I kind of had to take a break from that. However, it's something I'm considering doing. And so if you're listening to this and you have an interest, you know, I'm a big believer. I've talked a lot in the past actually about where are people missing the mark? Where are people struggling, or why can't people get over the hump and get back to physical activity once they get out of chronic pain? And I, Dr. Sarno always said that you need to get back to rigorous physical activity, but it wasn't necessarily the first thing. I do think that's the first thing. And so a thought that I've had is developing a coaching program that revolves around TMS coaching for people that are in chronic pain, but also blending it with customized workouts based upon your activity level and your equipment and what you have at your disposal. And then also with nutrition coaching. So these are all three things that I've done myself. I'm capable of doing, and I've been paid to be a nutrition consultant in the past. So it might be an idea. And if that's of some interest to you, I would say send me over a DM. And again, guys, so there's a few places you can find me. I want to start sending more people over to the Facebook group, to the Facebook page. I'd like to get more people involved in that. Currently there's about 300 likes on it, 315, something like that. But I want to start posting more content over there. And so you can just go on to Facebook and search the Mind and Fitness Podcast and you'll find it there. And then iTunes, Apple reviews, guys, it's super helpful to get more traction to the show. There's about 18 reviews, I think, right now, all 5 out of 5 stars. I love seeing that, love hearing that. And the worldwide reach is even growing further. So that's wonderful to hear. Okay, guys, so today's interview is with Sarah from Red Phoenix Nutrition. She was an ex-colleague of mine at Eat to Perform, and we would help primarily strength athletes, accomplish really their goals. But the thing that I noticed that her and I were doing in common, and this was when we both started coaching 5 or 6 years ago, was that a lot of times she and I, it seemed like a lot of our messaging was the same when we would work with clients. We would ask a lot of questions around what's going on in your life, what sort of stressors are you under, because the way in which you're able to burn fat and have your cortisol levels elevated and things like that is just drastically different if you're under a lot of stress. Your burn is just very different. So we talk a lot about that today. But yeah, this is the podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in again. I'm going to be interviewing Dr. David Hanscom actually as I record this tomorrow. And so I'm very excited for that. He wrote the book Back in Control, and that's going to be coming up here in the next week or couple of weeks on the podcast. So, but nevertheless, this is Sarah Stoiber Kumar from Red Phoenix Nutrition. This is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. I am here with Sarah Stoiber Kumar. She runs Red Phoenix Nutrition, and you are out of Chicago. Is that correct?
Correct. The suburbs of Chicago.
Oh, okay. So which suburb?
So it's Sugar Grove, and it's like an hour, just over an hour west of the city.
Cool. Okay. And are you
still Chicago?
Are you so the Chicago. So my wife and I we debate the dialect for different towns, and I, when I was thinking about you, for some reason I thought that you were in the Carolinas, and then I had thought, no, that's definitely like a Wisconsin accent. And then but Jenny has always said that enunciated A when she hears people say it is Chicago. So are you originally from that area?
Yeah, mm-hmm. grew up here my whole life.
Cool.
But people often do say, they're like, are you from Wisconsin? Like, I don't know. I guess I have like a Wisconsin-ish accent. I don't even know. I don't know what to tell you.
So part of it, I wish I could remember where he was from. So did you ever watch the show King of the Hill?
Oh, yeah.
When it was big?
Yeah.
So his wife, Peggy Hill, she had this phrase, this don't you know, right? Mm-hmm. That she would say all the time. And I can't remember where the Hills are actually even from. But that's always what I think of when I hear that big Chicago. For some reason, yeah. Even though like I feel like don't you know and Chicago are very different. they're very different sounds. That's but people so that funny. People that are from the West Coast that feel like we don't have accents, even though I'm sure that it sounds like we do to people that are in other parts of the world.
Totally.
We just sort of lump them all in together, I guess. And which is pretty unfair.
That's great. Do you know what that means? It means no labels.
Right.
And that's how it should be, for crying out loud. The heck? Why we got to label everything?
That's true. Okay. So the reason that I've been talking to Sarah for a few weeks about having her on for some kind of a conversation. And the reason why is that, so this podcast is very much about this idea of it's called the Mind and Fitness Podcast, but I feel like I spend a lot of time talking about mind. And when this podcast first started, it was solely about fitness. And, but the intersection of that is a lot of the stuff that I feel like I see you talking about on social media and some of your YouTube videos and things like that. And that's around sort of your mind or your emotional connection or your stress and how that impacts food and dieting and nutrition. Cause you and I met when we worked at the same company doing
that's
nutrition
right.
coaching. So like, that's our background. I guess before we jump into where that intersection actually hits, tell me about your background, how you got into this, why you got into this.
Yeah.
You know, let's start there.
So it's actually a funny story. Years ago, before I started CrossFit, I started kind of doing the whole CrossFit research, it kind of like crossed into nutrition, and I was actually looking at maybe going back to school. I went to art school. Okay. So for me to ever say about going back to school is like out of left field. Right. Okay. But you know, single mom, I'm thinking, you know, how can I make the most of my life, of my opportunities? And so I was thinking about going back to school for nutrition, researching CrossFit, because it was kind of like around when The Walking Dead came out, and I was like, what am I going to do during a zombie apocalypse, right? Like, I need CrossFit, you know, like, I need to get strong, you know? I had always gone to the gym and all that good stuff, but had never really paid attention to my nutrition, other than I loved food. Like, I am a super foodie, and my coach, of course, coaches need coaches. I have a coach as well. It's like, you can't carry on your foodie life, you know, and do a cut, right? Like, those two things don't go together. So we still go back and forth on that, by the way. but I love Travis. So really the nutrition PSK, I started researching things, and I did come across, you know, this fat loss challenge with Eat to Perform, which was, you know, the previous company that I was with. And I joined it.
And I ended up... What year are you at this point?
Oh gosh. Gosh, maybe 2012.
Oh, okay. Okay. A while ago.
2012, 2013-ish. I won first place during that Fat Loss Challenge, totally buckled down. But in the meantime, like leading up to that, I was following things like Mark's Daily Apple, right? And the whole like paleo world. I won a paleo challenge. You know, I was all about winning challenges, yep. Really. Like, racking up the challenge.
Who doesn't love a free t-shirt?
Well, exactly. Duh. Right. And so I just kind of found this path, because I really loved the nutrition aspect and learning about how you fuel or, how you don't fuel your body appropriately for what you're doing. So that's really where it started. Is that kind of what you were looking for?
Yeah. No, okay. It does. So that's how you got involved in, getting into the challenges and stuff, but then you got mm-hmm. into the coaching aspect.
Correct.
So how do you go from challenge participant to now to coaching? Like where does that happen?
So I was super active, like on all of this, where I won this challenge, I was super active on their forums and that kind of stuff. And, my coach had said, "Hey, I need you to get more active so we can bring you on board, just a little bit more active." And that turned into like, I started doing that, and then I was asked to be brought on full time, which a couple of months after that, I was asked to be a lead coach because, it's my passion, helping people in this way, finding different ways, different strategies. When it's your passion, you kind of go over and above, right? And so that's what was happening. I was asked to be a lead coach and that was it. Like I really just kind of took the bull by the horns and, got to a point, that, I felt like I could offer people a lot more personalized coaching from what I was doing, after the years had gone by and, you're in any, bigger company, if it's not kind of real super personalized focused or, if they don't have the capability to do that, I get that. However, I knew inside myself that I could give people more depth to their nutrition versus what I had been doing. So it kind of like was my calling. Like I was doing a disservice to not follow that.
So it's interesting that you talk about depth because, people can go and they can subscribe to like Beachbody or they can go and buy, Women's Health or they can go onto Weight Watchers or a lot of these different types of almost like shell templated types of programs. Mm-hmm. You're talking about something that's more in depth, I guess. Give me an example of what do you mean by that?
So more in depth is not just about, hey, here's your macro prescription, ready, go, right? It's about what's inside. Like, what does that even mean? Right? Because it is never, and everybody does their own thing, but it is never about just the macros. There is so much more behind your fitness journey, whether you're looking for, muscle gain or your, performance or, fat loss, or you're just looking to like really have a good quality of life and good longevity to be able to play with your children, for all the years of your life. It's about way more than the macros, right? We talk about mindset, where you're coming from, where you've been, what you've done to yourself. And it's not just food. Like food is just a byproduct of all this stuff, right? We eat because of the things, lots of times we're eating what we eat because of the things going on in our life, right? We don't really take a look at what's going on inside of those macros, how it's affecting your hormone profile, which in turn is going to affect things like your anxiety, trigger depression, if you're not doing things appropriately for yourself, looking at gut health, like it's so much more than about the macros. And so, yeah, that's depth.
So, have you ever heard of Stan Efferding? Have you heard that name before?
Yes, I've heard it. Yeah.
So he is a, it's tough to describe him. So he's like 300 pounds, brick shit house, total solid steel, blue rhino. Like, or I think he calls himself the white rhino, but he's a guy, you know, he's squatting 550 for reps. Like it's nothing. Uh-huh. He's close to 50 years old, I think too.
Wow.
But he came up with he wrote a book called The Vertical Diet. And I was listening to him talk yesterday, and he was talking about why templated or shelled macro plans don't work. And a lot of what he was talking about was A, the micronutrient profile doesn't seem like it's adequate. But he said too, like people, like compliance is the number one thing that's going to make a diet work. He said, regardless of what that diet is or that nutrition plan is, if you can't comply, then it's never going to work. And so he said a lot of times the macro diets, they're so restrictive for everything else that's going on in their life and their world that they end up underperforming, they end up feeling very lethargic, they end up feeling like shit, and so they stop doing it, and then they just, you know, then they'll go and find what the next diet is, or they'll get back on a different macro diet, or they'll hire another coach and things like that. I think the idea of like what else is going on in your life is so powerful. I've interviewed you know, dozens of people on this show, and some of them are psychologists and things like that. I'm interviewing a spine surgeon for an episode that's coming up in a week or two, but I've listened to him talk and read a lot of his publications. And when he would be diagnosing patients that would come into his spine surgery practice, and whether they have herniated discs or things like that, his belief and my belief is that a lot of pain issues have much more to do to what is going on in your life than what's going on in your body.
Absolutely.
So talk about the impact that I guess that dieting and nutrition has on your, like, how can that, where's the connection at for you on what else is going on in your life versus here's the food plan that you need to take to get results?
Oh, because you can't have a food plan that everybody else is on, right? Because your life, your stress level is totally different, right? So if you're given a cookie cutter plan and, you know, they may say it's not a cookie cutter plan, but I'm sorry, if you're given the same numbers, I don't care if two people are the same stats, right? You could be, you know, 5'5 and 170 pounds, you know, female, just because there's another, you know, same height, same weight female does not mean you should be on the same macros, you know? And that's what these kind of templated cookie cutter companies do, right? You go in a box. So when we talk about all the other factors that, you know, how that affects, you know, your life is your stress level, right? What does that look like? Like, let's say you're not even training right now, but you work an 8-hour day, you have a 3.5-hour commute. You also, you know, have to make sure you're doing activities with the kids after that commute. You know, you're on the go. So does that mean you should be eating super low because you're not training? Absolutely not, right? We have to also take into account, you know, the stressors in your life, because that's affecting you. And if you're not eating enough food to support that kind of stuff, you're kind of really smashing your metabolism, you know, and creating a world where you could, you know, possibly deal with like adrenal fatigue, you know, for example, or HPA axis dysfunction, whichever you want to call it, it's the same thing, you know. Yeah, everybody likes to argue about, oh, it's not a real thing. I don't care what you want to call it. You're going to tank your adrenals, okay? Like, even if you're not training, yes, that can happen, right? If you're killing yourself, you're running yourself into the ground, that can totally happen.
And, you know, the way I went to a dinner 6 or so years ago, and it was in Australia, like it was in like the middle of the outback. And I ended up being just ironically, there was 100 people at this thing, and it was out in the desert. It was supposed to be like under the stars, and that was the whole, you know, nucleus of it. There's no street lights because we're in the middle of the desert. And I, of all people, I could have gotten sat next to. And so this would have been before I even found Eat to Perform, but I was very much into it because even like 10 years prior to me finding Eat to Perform, I lost 100 pounds. And I've talked about it on this podcast before. Awesome. So I was way into that life, but I get sat next to the equivalent or New Zealand's equivalent of the Food and Drug Administration. Their director was the guy that I sat next to. And so I'm talking to him about some of the the modalities around dieting in the United States. And, you know, you go and you look at a check stand and there's a magazine cover that says, you know, get back to your high school weight or, you know, something stupid like that.
Yep.
And I was like, where are people missing it in the US? Like, we have the highest level of obesity, but it seems like we have like the most information. It's like information overload at grocery stores. Right. And he said, I think that where a lot of people miss the mark is that they think of calories as something different than what the rest of the world does. We think of it as energy units in New Zealand and Australia. And so your output of energy needs to match your input of energy. So if you're putting out, you know, a workout plus you're going to work plus you're, because stress is burned calories in a way too. And so it's like,
yeah, absolutely.
And so if you're chasing around kids and you're chasing around dogs and you're, you know, you bust your ass at your job and then you go and you work out, like all of
and
these
then
things.
And your dragon dog makes man sized poops in your yard that you have to pick up.
Well, I've got two pugs, so I don't quite deal with that. But what it made me think of at that time, because I didn't have any kids at the time, and just how different it was trying to eat at a deficit 5 years ago when I had no kids and my mortgage was smaller versus now when my mortgage is higher and I have two kids and you know, I have a dog that's, he's not like at the end of the road, but you know, he has some health issues and stuff, like all these things kind of plug into it. And when I try and go on any sort of a, you know, even just a short term, hey, I want to drop 5 pounds to get into the next competitive weight class and weightlifting, like it ends up being a big embarrassing failure. Like it's just like, it's just like, this is so, like, I start underperforming and then you start overthinking it and then it's just off the wagon. So what are some, like, I guess tell me about maybe the profiles of when you interview a potential new client, like what are some of the questions that you're asking to build their profile?
So I want to know, what's super important to me is, you know, where they've been, you know, what has worked for you and what hasn't worked for you. Like, I want to know everything they've tried and I want to know why they think why, right? Because oftentimes why we think why isn't the real why. You know, there's other things to that, right? Well, they'll say, well, you know, it was too restrictive. Okay, right. I do think that that's a real why, but so, because could it also be like, you know, maybe you aren't a super planner, right? Because I do think that there's ways to give people a macro prescription and help them through their nutrition, and they don't have to be super planners, right? I can teach you how to do this intuitively also, right? It's not all about the macros. You know, what kinds of things are they not willing to sacrifice? When we go back to that, you know, feeling restricted, I mean, that's often a huge thing, you know, like, you know, I can remember in my past life, right? The past company I was doing nutrition coaching for, like people come back from the weekend and it was like, they'd get, you know, like, they're like, oh, went out, you know, had drinks. And it was like, well, you know, how, you know, you can't expect to stay on plan was kind of the mindset. Can't expect to see results. Well, here's the deal, right? The weekend comes around, I'm going to have a couple beers and pizza with my kids, you know, like you have to account for people's, you know, the things that they don't want to give up. And I don't want people to give those things up, right? I want people to know that they should keep their like quality of life things in. Once you start removing that stuff, it increases your stress level, right? When we know you increase your stress level, your cortisol is going through the roof. You're a walking cortisol cocktail, right? And your body is going to store body fat for you, right? It's not going to lose weight for you because you're stressing out, you know, about not being able to have pizza and beer on the weekend with your kids. It's going to, you know, it's counterproductive. I want to know what people do, not just for training. I want to know what their day looks like, you know, how many kids do you have, you know? Somebody with no kids versus, you know, two sets of twins under the age of 3, oh, right?
Jesus, yeah.
That accounts for a lot of stuff, right? And, I just think that I really want to know everything possible about people. Like, there is no, hey, give me your height, weight, and age. That doesn't exist in my world. I'm so, like, anti that. I want to know as much as somebody's willing to share with me, because that's all going to, you know, play into the kind of plan we're making. Because I don't ever just make a macro plan, right? Your plan is, you know, what stress management activities are we implementing, right? What supplements can we implement? Are you taking any supplements, right? There's so many other factors that have a bigger impact than we think they really do. And also, obviously, you want to know what somebody's goal is, right? And my favorite ever is, I want to lose weight, but I want to get stronger.
Yep.
You know, like, okay. So with each person, I don't have a single client that I don't get on the phone with, so that we can have these conversations and I can say, okay, but in real life, you know, what's your main goal?
Right.
And then why? What does that mean to you? Right? Because there again is another piece that we probably need to, you know, delve into, right? If it's always, I want to lose weight. Why is that? You know, is there some kind of thing in your background, you know, maybe you were harassed as a teen, that, you know, and you feel like mentally your mindset is, unless you're into these like size 6 jeans, you're not good enough. You know, maybe that's in your mind. We need to fix that. We need to at least start working through it. I'm not a therapist, but I play one on TV, yeah. You know, because that is such a big part of all of this is your mindset. So you have to be able to dig deep and ask the hard questions. And the reason most, I mean, if you're running into coaches and they're not asking you the hard questions, it's usually because they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to handle it, you know?
So that's really interesting. Like, you know, the whole idea of like, so everybody knows about the term like subconscious, right? Like, but I feel like a lot of people don't necessarily know what it means, and the way that something gets. So the I just heard a doctor an hour ago say that, I think he said something along the lines of like, your subconscious thoughts run at, it was something like 10 million times faster than any conscious thought you could ever have.
Wow. That's awesome.
And so
like Star Wars.
Right. So the thing is like, it's always continuously running, which is why the dreams that we have in REM sleep are connected to your subconscious mind. And a lot of times like the dreams that you have, there is a connection that's very Freudian, but there is a connection into your subconscious mind. But the way that a lot of times like things get buried into your subconscious, there's two ways. It's like from the time most therapists will say that it's before you hit the age of 7, meaning if something bad happened to you before the age of 7, and in some cases it just means that, you know, you were made fun of for being poor, and then in other cases it's much more serious, and it's, I'm not saying that poverty is not serious, but if you were sexually abused as a kid before you were the age of 7, those kinds of things, they're so repressed that they're now a part of your subconscious thought. And that's why people can get triggered down the road, but PTSD works exactly the same way. But when you're asking clients things about you know, well why do you need to fit into these type of genes, and then you find out that they have these, you know, these deeply rooted thoughts that start coming up when they start thinking about, I was made fun of at this age for being this. Like, how do you handle that with the client?
So I actually have set up, so with my coaching, okay, basically I have two options. I do have a surprise coming out that I can't tell you about, but I might be creating something else. But for right now, my one-on-one coaching, I have two options. So one is email only, and the other is I call my all access party division, where, so once a week, once every 10 days or so, we'll get on the phone. And so whether you're doing the phone option or the email only check-ins, right? I call it your spill your guts check-in, right? So I kind of have it designed so it's a little bit of a stress release piece for you, right? Because I want you to have as much stress release as possible. So in that email, you know, I want you to tell me how your training's going, what food epiphanies you've had, you hate your neighbor's dog, you know, like whatever is, get it out, right? Spill your guts, right? It's your spill your guts check-in. And then when those things do come up, you know, we just talk through them, really, because I really feel like, who else do you talk about that stuff with, right? Like, and that is another reason why I decided to do this on my own, start this nutrition coaching on my own, is because I really feel like the kinds of things that people share with me on this journey, they're some of the most personal things ever. And I don't take that lightly at all, you know? So because they don't share those things with the guy at the gym, you know? You don't share those things, a lot of the, you don't even share those things with your doctor, because more times than not, and you know, shout out to all the good doctors out there, but a lot of times you'll share something with a doctor and you get the glazed over look and you're rolling on to the next thing, right? Yeah. Yeah, so yeah. Who else do they have to share those things with, right? So I really feel like just talking through those things and helping people kind of become in the awareness of today, right? Being aware in here and the now instead of what happened then or the thing that they want, right? That goal, right? And I just actually had a great conversation with a client talking about, do we call it a goal or do we call it an intention? A goal tends to have kind of a stop time, right? We hit our goal and then what, right? However, if it's your intention, you know, to be more fit or to have more energy, that doesn't really end, right? Because you're always, your actions reflect what you're intending to be, right? So you kind of are always incorporating those better habit ads to get you, you know, living with that intention for yourself.
It's part of why I hate like the whole 30 plans and stuff, because, because I'm just, well, then what, right? Like, what do you do? What do you do with that? You know, once that's finished, like, what do you actually do then?
Yes. Yes. I mean, I did it, right? I won those fat loss challenges, right? And then what? And then I was like, holy cow, it's time to go to IHOP and Taco Bell, you know? Like, yes, I did it.
It reminds
now
me.
I'm going to reward myself for the next 90 days.
It reminds me of, there was a woman that I interviewed. It would have either been in October, November last year, but she was a like a fitness, you know, like a fitness competitor, like a bodybuilder. And she would talk about, she doesn't do it anymore because she said it's almost like when she's a teenager and in her early 20s and such, like she had these yo-yo diets and she would have, you know, she would have like borderline eating disorder habits. But then she thought, okay, well, if I get into this, it'll force me to be very, very strict on my diet, but also eating the right things to fuel me to look good on stage and things like that. And she's like, I thought it would make me better in that sense. And it actually made me much worse because, you know, I would train so hard for 16 weeks or 24 weeks or whatever the, you know, whatever the end goal was, which was the show. And then she's like, we'd walk off stage and it, like, our feet would hurt so bad because we're so dehydrated and all this. And then we'd run to our rooms and we'd eat 6 pounds of candy and then we would feel like total hell and take a week off and, you know, put on 15, 20 pounds and then do it again for the next show. And how much that, like, you know, that bouncing back, like, why is that it wasn't working? Like, why do you think that people... You know, we all know these people. I'm sure that you could close your eyes right now. Think of people that are not clients of yours, but just people that are in your life where you probably
have to close my eyes.
You don't have to. You don't have to. I'm not.
Awesome.
I'm not right now. But
I love it.
But people that have yo-yo dieted, right? Like you feel like maybe you see them every 6 months or once a year or something, and it's like they almost look like they have a 30 or 40 pound swing like all the time.
Right.
Like, what is the reason for that?
I mean, it's really because they're, you know, again, you have that one goal, right? Instead of looking at it like, we're all brainwashed this way, right? To have this one goal, instead of looking at it like, this is your journey, you know, this whole time, not just the 6 weeks, you know, and then, you know, they don't have to be separate. You know, we like to label things, we like to compartmentalize things. I really think that it's taking, when we take that piece and we say, this is my goal, you know, and then we go all out, we're going to be extreme because we need to show, you know, maybe we need to prove things to people in our life or, you know, whatever it is, you know, and that's when you end up falling off. Right. And because it's not sustainable, right? If you're not keeping, you know, forefront in your mind also, hey, I need to also have a good quality of life.
Right.
You know, I also need to accept the fact that I'm human. I also need to accept the fact that every time I'm super dieting like this, I'm damaging my body's history, right? So every time we take, you know, doing that comp, right, and super dieting for that, you've added a piece, a layer to your body's history, right? And so that means how your metabolism is going to respond, how your body's going to adapt. We've created that. And so we build these layers and layers and layers on our body's history of damaging things. And then we'll get a little bit of good stuff, right? We'll refeed. Some of that eating over and gaining weight is necessary, right? Mm-hmm. For people to heal because they've totally jacked their hormones up, right? But it's still, they're all building blocks and pieces to what kind of body history have you created for yourself? Go ahead.
I'm glad that you say that because I think that a lot of people tend to find that when they hear the word damage, like they think it's irreversible, mm-hmm. but I mean, are you in agreement with me that this kind of stuff, like, you know, screwing with your hormones and messing with your metabolism, this stuff can all be reversed out? Like,
absolutely.
Like, you can absolutely, you can patch that with the Band-Aid.
Every one of my clients, yeah. right, is working on that, right? Just because on all kinds of things, right? Maybe it's not just starving themselves. So maybe it comes from, talking about Stan saying, you know, they have these, because of the restrictive piece of it. But sometimes it's because their macros are too high, yep. right? They've given too much leeway and not taught that if you fill those macros with a bunch of shit, you're going to fuck up your hormones, you know? Like, that's just how it is. So it does go both ways.
How long do you usually work with clients?
Oh, I mean, forever. Yeah. Like, I mean, I have clients that have been working with me for, the past years that I was with, Eat to Perform, you know, that came, you know, that messaged me and were like, hey, I'm looking for something different. Yeah. You know, I love the way that we interact, you know? And so some of them for years, like 3 years, you know, I'd say, I mean, I have several clients that when I did open, right, new clients, so 7 months that just started yeah. as soon as I opened shop. I would say not a minimum of 60 days.
Is there, you know, is there a certain number of clients that you take on at any given time? Like, is there, you know, I'm full now, basically. Like, do you yeah. have any restrictions like that?
It's so funny because it's such a hard, I do have a mentor and, Jason Phillips' team with IN3 Nutrition, the mastermind, and we talk about those things. And it's a really difficult because you're like, it's almost like, what's your cutoff for helping people? you right, know, like right. in my mind, that's what I hear. Right. And I want it to be limitless, you know, but the reality is, you know, you can't overstretch yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Because of course, a piece of, you know, doing what you do when you start a business and you do this kind of stuff, a piece of that is also having your own quality of life, right? Which mine increased a shit ton, right? When I started, my resting heart rate went down by 10 points within 30 days. Yeah, it was incredible. And I'm free to, you know, help my kids with what they need help with on a daily basis and not have to stress about asking permission to take care of my kids, you know, like a totally different ball game.
But, yeah. Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is like, okay, so the heart rate went down and a lot of the books that I've read on like back pain and such, when they say, okay, for example, like one of the examples would be maybe journaling or something. Journaling doesn't fix yeah. your spine is like what maybe somebody would say in that regard. Okay. Changing jobs does not fix your heart, right? But what it does do is maybe it chills out that amygdala and that primitive part of the brain that says, hey, chill yes. the fuck out. And suddenly the resting heart rate goes down. So yeah. So it's absolutely in tune with, you know, what I've seen and what's consistent.
Yeah. And absolutely. You better believe, Eddie, like that's affecting your hormones as well. That is totally jacking. Your cortisol goes up. Cortisol shuts off the production of testosterone, home skillet. You know, like who wants that?
For any like, men over 25 listening to this, we do not want that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you want your sex drive? Don't kill your stress, right? Like, you got to take care of all of those pieces. And I mean, I don't know if you saw, so posting progress photos, right? So I post progress photos not too long ago from when I started this whole bit and then to now, six months later, after delving into my own hormone profile and upping my quality of food and all these things, like all of a sudden, like this kind of cortisol belly that I've been carrying, it's kind of dissipated. Yep. Like, imagine what happened. Oh, what do you know? Your stress level came down a shit ton, you know?
You know, and a lot of what I think of with that too, so there's certain parts of the body that like they hold different like different emotional components to you. Yeah. And the stomach is notorious, the rectus abdominis, which is the six pack, in holding emotional stress.
Yes.
And so that feeling of, you know, fullness, or which is right up there with like constipation and IBS and stomach problems and all that. Many times, like, the root cause of it is stress, right?
Yeah.
In fact, there's a really great book that talks all about cortisol called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers that my old psychologist recommended that I read.
And
that's
a great one.
Yeah, I learned all about cortisol and how much of it, how much of that effect of stress can really like lives in the gut and lives in the muscle tissue. And and then like Dr. John Sarno expanded it to be, you know, muscle tissue, nerve tissue, tendon tissue. And at this point, like, I'm convinced that anxiety, depression, chronic pain, obesity, all these things are all tied together, and all of them have 100% correlation to stress, unless you have an infection or you have cancer or you have something like that. But for 99.9% of us, like, that's not the case.
Yeah, totally. You know, and talking about gut health, you know, like, it's, you know, your stomach is called your second brain. Mm-hmm. That's not like irony, you know, like, so much of it affects everything, right? And so your nutrition, like, I don't know, it's such a key component that is taken for granted, you know, and it affects your stress, right? So, like, if you don't get the correct amount of micronutrients, right, in your body, which I was not prior, a lot of my clients were not, your neurotransmitters aren't even going to be able to fire properly, right? Like, that's a real freaking thing. You can actually get a test done that will tell you, you know, because when we're prescribed Lexapro or Prozac or whatever, those are Band-Aids, right? Those are, they Band-Aid the symptoms that we're feeling, right, of the stress that in our life, anxiety, depression, whatever. So, when you can actually get tests done that will tell you what micronutrients, which neurotransmitters are deficient in, right? Like, how freaking amazing is that? You know, so then help your stress level, you know, help get your gut health, starts help leveling all that stuff out. It's just, it's so much more than about just the macros.
People in the United States love taking pills, though.
Oh, God, yes.
I remember, so this is, I'm going to, after we do this interview, this is a little behind the scenes for anybody listening, but after we do this interview, I'll record like the intro to this post that we're, this podcast that we're doing. And this is like breaking news as of yesterday. So, like, you know, sound the CNN alarms and all that.
Oh, snap.
so there was I still love dairy foods, right? Like, you know, I love cheese and I love ice cream and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And I had a lot of it in my diet. And then suddenly it was as if like a light switch turned off, and this would have been October or November, probably like more like mid-October of 2013. For whatever reason, I suddenly just stopped having the ability to have dairy products. Like, it went from they gave me no problems to now my stomach tightens up and it's like constipation issues and TMI for some people listening, all this kind of stuff. And I would
we love poop talk, Eddie. Come on.
So I met with like a nutritionist or a dietitian or whatever it was that she was. She was like a gut health guru or, you know, whatever it is you call her. And, you know, she'd prescribe me to, or she'd put me on a bunch of these different types of supplements and none of them were helping and all this kind of stuff. And she was actually somebody that I met through Eat to Perform as well. And I don't think that it was her prescribing that was the wrong part. Eventually I just gave up and just said, okay, I'm succumbing now to a life of no dairy, which on the surface doesn't sound that bad. But then if you have like kids that have allergies or you have an allergy yourself, and you start to find out that like dairy's in fucking everything. So like my wife and I'll go to a restaurant and I'll get like a burger or something. And then I have to ask, can I see the allergen menu for the bun? Because like 50% of the time the bun has milk in it, which is so unnecessary that it does. Right.
Yeah.
So that's how I've been living my life for the last 5 years. And then, I was listening to, so last week when I put out the podcast, I did like, because it was the 4th of July, I did like a best of episode where I went through and I cut up some of my favorite clips from 2017's episodes. And I was talking to a psychologist. She told me this great story about this client that she had, who her husband of 40 years was coming up on the retirement, like his retirement. And as these days are getting closer, she starts to have terrible stomach problems, constipation and IBS develops and all this kind of stuff. And she's trying, you know, she's going to different doctors, things like that. They're not having a good solution for her. And the therapist, the psychologist I had on my show, she said to her client, okay, so this stuff's starting to change as your husband of 40 years is approaching his retirement, and the woman starts to talk about maybe some of the resentful feelings around that. And one of the ones she was talking about was like, I basically raised the kids by myself while my husband was off at work. And just, you know, they start like some of the toxic shit starts to come out. Yeah. And her stomach symptoms over the course of a few weeks or a few months or whatever completely vanish, as if they were never there at all. She never had to go to her husband and you know, they didn't have to fight about this kind of stuff. It was just the feelings that she was sort of holding in that she never let out. And then I went back and I looked, when did my wife and I figure out that we were pregnant with my first daughter? And it was within 1 week of having my stomach issues begin. And so this was like last night. I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, I'm racking my brain, like, I know when I had my neck and back pain relapse a couple of years ago. And it literally happened. I'm with my daughter. She's throwing her shoes out the car window. Like, and it's like, and I'm getting like, it's one of those things where you're just, it's raining and it's cold and you're just like, will you fucking stop? Right. Like, and then like, bam, like my neck goes into spasm and now I'm like, and it sat that way for a couple of years. And then, so I'm thinking last night, I'm like, like, I love my kids and I talk about how much I love my kids and I adore my children, but children are a big stressor in our lives. And is it possible that when I found out that we were going to be having a kid, that of course I was excited and I was pumped and all this, but is there a part of me that there's a little bit of, again, if we go back to this idea of subconscious we talked about 30 minutes ago, where there becomes like a subconscious thought where it's like, no, then a little bit like I'm going to lose my freedom and I can't work out the way I want to and I can't ride my motorcycle and I don't have the freedom that I had. But because that's not the way, we're such a polite society and you're not supposed to think that kind of stuff. So you push it down. It becomes a part of a subconscious belief and now it's affecting my stomach health. And so now I have
stress is huge.
Yeah. So if you were to ask me 2 days ago, what is my perceived likelihood of completely eradicating my anti-dairy symptoms? I would tell you probably about 1.5%. But now, in the last 24 hours, I would say that belief is about 98%, maybe higher. Yeah. Simply because it's figuring out that, wow, that is having a child is a big life stressor. Right. And then a week later, I start having major stomach problems.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a little mind blowing. Yeah,
the mind. I'm gonna make a post about this because this has been on my mind for a while. But we always talk about mind muscle connection, right? But like, you know, there's mind gut connection, mind and nutrition connection. We don't think about that stuff, but it's real. Like we do so much bad shit to ourselves.
Yep.
With, like you said, without even really thinking about it. We don't even realize we're doing it. That's why, you know, Eddie, if you're not journaling, you should be journaling. You should be doing like a spill your guts journal, you know, but it is super helpful to just kind of force yourself to spit it out, you know, get it on paper so you can get it out of your brain. The other thing is what we think we're going to get on paper and what we think we're going to get out of our brain usually isn't even what comes out, right? It usually is this other suppressed stuff that's been like brewing back there, like you said, was going on, what's going to happen with your training and all this good stuff.
And newsflash, anybody that's listening to this that is like a parent to be, or they're not a parent, but they want to be at some point. I was much stronger and healthier after my kid was born. So, so all those feelings of fear and all that kind of stuff, ended up not being.
Yeah. Not being well, worth it, right? I mean, you know what happens, right? You had to become a beast to protect your beautiful girls, you know, right? Like you're like, hell no, nobody's messing with my kids. You should,
like, it's one thing. Like, I was at the park.
You're the most adorable dad of little girls ever, by the way. I just have to say that.
I think that I all I wanted was a little boy. And then we had Zoe and it was like, all I want is little girls. Right. Like that's all that I want. You know, it's interesting you say that. I was at the park a couple of days ago with another parent. She had her two kids there and I just had Zoe, the older one, with me. And this guy, I don't want to make, I'm not making assumptions about people that look a certain way, whether they're dangerous or not dangerous, but there was this guy, he was like digging through the trash, and he was a little like, we're at a park, and there, he walks like right through where the little kids are, and me and my friend were like, we're watching this guy like a hawk, right? So I get that cortisol and adrenaline pump, where suddenly it's like the hair, you know, the back, like you look at a dog that gets angry, right? It's like the hair of the back. So I feel like that's justified, right? An adult that's walking near your children that suspect, but there are some neighbor kids of mine that they'll destroy my kid, destroy Zoe's toys, and they're like, they're just wild, right? But it's the exact same thing when I see them. I'm just I go into total predator lion mode, you know.
Does the bandana go on? With
the bandana, don't you? No, you know, and you know why? It's because I recently cut my hair. And so I had like the, I don't know if you saw, but I had like the top knot man bun for a while. I had it for like 7 or 8 months. But what was starting to happen is I was getting my hair cut, and it was getting, what the hell is it called? The lines on the top, where like I would shave it on the sides, and those shaven sides got way too far up. And then it just started looking more like a lily pad as opposed to like hair. So I thought, so I ran to the barber, and I was like, all right, we're just going to, we're starting from scratch. And like, so it'll
can
be
you
another,
redo my lily pad?
Please? Yeah. So she cut the whole thing off, and then I'm going to, you know, I'll go a year and a half, but at this time I'm going, the entire thing is going to be grown. That way I'll have the true long hair, true man bun that I've always wanted. will happen then.
You'll be like a samurai.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like that's the, and like, awesome. I'll have the beard and all that kind of stuff. Too. So, awesome. Okay. So the last thing, and this would have been a way better segue 25 minutes ago, but, I'm curious on like your, so something that's always been interesting to me is like how a male nutrition coach interacts with males, how they interact with females, and then how a female nutrition coach interacts with the same gender and the opposite sex. So, just really quick, I guess, tell me, like, do you specialize in a particular gender? Is there a difference in how you coach them? Those kind of things.
I mean, so there is a difference to, I guess I would say, I coach every single person differently, right?
Yep.
Because every single person comes from a different background. So a male or female, you know, they need different things from me, right? We perceive things differently. I could say, you know, the sky is blue to one person, and I could say the sky is blue to another person, and they're going to have a totally different perception of it, right? So you learn how to talk to each person. But you know, between male and female, you know, I'm just as blunt with my, male clients. You know, we talk about getting it up, you know, being able to do that, like your stress level, not getting enough sleep, that's going to hurt your testosterone. Right. Just the same as we talk about, you know, sex drive with women, you know, are you getting any, you know, do you feel like getting any, right? Those are all indicators of, you know, hormone stuff that we can work on, right? I do have more female clients than male clients, but I would say it's not different. You know, like I treat pretty much everybody equally, based on what they need, you know, like, and again, I think another big piece of it is it just depends on how they communicate, right? And making sure that they're always asking questions when they have questions, instead of just sitting on standby, you know, waiting for their, you know, once a week or once every 10 day call. No, man, you have the ability to email me every day if you want, right? I never want you to be in a position that you're not asking questions. So everybody pretty much gets that. I should say pretty much everybody gets that treatment.
you're like a food therapist.
It kind of is a little bit. But again, I don't take it like we laugh about it. I take it so seriously because I've been there. I've seen people in positions with coaches that were totally insensitive. You know, people would say, this is what's going on in my life, and it would be totally glazed over. And that, you know, kind of left me with a little PTSD, right? Yep. Like I can never have that, you know, like, I would be mortified knowing that is what somebody, the kind of service I gave someone.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, this was a great conversation. Where can people find you? Well, you know, go ahead and do your plugs.
Yeah. So, redphoenixnutrition.com is my website, but you can also follow me on my personal Facebook, Sarah Stoiber Kumar. Also, the Facebook business page. Red Phoenix Nutrition. My Instagram is Red Phoenix Nutrition. And I just started, just a little baby Eddie, okay, doing some SoundCloud audios. So super short, but on SoundCloud. It's Red Phoenix Nutrition, and it's called Our Daily Flames. So just super short little tidbits daily to help you rock your goals and little things to help you break through your plateaus.
That is awesome. Can they just get it off SoundCloud, or can they get it anywhere else right now?
It's just on SoundCloud right now because I am not technical and I still need an IT guy. If you know anyone. Like, that's the whole thing. And I do, you know, I'm very open with my clients, and I do say that, you know, like, I can coach like a motherfucker, you know, I can do a really awesome job coaching. I have no technical ability whatsoever. Yeah. Like, if I send you something, it will look like a kindergartner made it. However, it's going to do the job.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. Thanks so much for your time. This is Sarah with Red Phoenix Nutrition. Thanks again.
Thank you.